Barry, everybody's hometown, or on the web at bobscamerashop.com.
All right, we're back. 244-1777 is our local number. Toll free, 877-291-8255. All right, let's give a nice warm radio from out. Welcome this morning to Bruce Cameron. I am sure we have had Bruce on the program before, probably talking about teenage dating and things like that. Bruce's most recent book is The Dogs of Christmas, and he's kind enough to join us live in the line. Bruce, how's it going this morning?
It's going great, yeah. Yeah, I think I've been on here before.
Yeah.
I will just keep talking. That's what I do.
It's just sort of like that bad nightmare coming back to roost here. I have a 15-year-old daughter, so you may understand why I had a bit of a peak of an interest in your book here. 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. My gosh, dude, you were having a career that I have to say was kind of sputtering along, and that seems like it was your big breakthrough. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Sputtering doesn't... I would have paid money to be sputtering. I was doing nothing. And then we came out with 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. It became a TV show. I moved out to L.A. That's where I'm standing right now, is in Los Angeles, California, where it's raining. It changed everything. The Dogs of Christmas was not a departure as much as it seems, because I had written a couple other books with dogs on the cover before that one came out.
Right. No. I know you've been sort of milking the dog category now pretty heavily. After you mined the 8 rules to you, then you after you followed 8 rules to date my teenage daughter, then you moved it up as she got older, obviously, to 8 rules to marry my daughter.
Yeah, you know, it is the secret to my success that I write about very obvious things. So, you know, dads don't get along with teenage daughters. Dads don't think any man is worth marrying his daughter. People love dogs. I'm not a genius.
Yeah.
I'm not doing rocket science here. I'm coming up with some very obvious stuff.
Next, you'll have dogs eating apple pie, and then you can sort of get the trifecta here.
We have puppies at Christmas in The Dogs of Christmas. Now, if that can't cheer you up, I don't know what can.
Yeah, that's ducks in a barrel, I would say, wouldn't you? So how many copies of 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, how many copies of that did you sell?
You know, I don't think we hit a million. I think we did a few hundred thousand somewhere in there. It was a nice big seller. Yeah, it still sells.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
still sells. If you go in the bookstore and look for the, I have gone into bookstores and asked for the Bruce Cameron section. That's pretty funny. There's no Bruce Cameron section. But if you go to the shelf, you'll find 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. There you'll find A Dog's Purpose, A Dog's Journey, and those are my big sellers, even bigger than 8 Simple Rules, frankly.
Okay.
And then you'll find The Dogs of Christmas there, too.
Now, that's interesting. So you're telling me that the dog books, is it because there were more of them?
Well, A Dog's Purpose, now that one, I think we pretty much do have a million copies out there worldwide. That one has just really resonated with people, and that exerted the gravitational pull on my career away from writing humor books and toward writing books that have humor in them. But The Dogs of Christmas has got a lot of humor in it. But
right.
But still, writing books that have dogs on the cover and are dog centric. You know, dogs play an important part in every book that I write now.
Okay. So if you had to boil it down, you're going to love this question. So if you had to boil it down, what is a dog's purpose?
A dog's purpose is to be with us. We about 30,000 years ago, started breeding these dogs, and the ones that we allowed to reproduce were the ones that wanted to be around us. And we took full control of dogs and tinkered with their DNA and came up with boxers and dachshunds and chihuahuas. We did that because we wanted specific breeds to do specific things, and so we've literally stitched it into their DNA by virtue of selective breeding, that they want to be with us, they love us. That's their purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's our purpose for them?
you know, they see us, I think, as the center of the universe. I mean, they really, of course, my dog thinks I'm here to make bacon. I mean, he really thinks that that's my, and really would pretty much like to be with his mom all the rest of the time, but when it comes to the bacon guy, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how dogs see us, very simply, but you know, no, I'm really, you know, I'm in command. When I say it's time to go for a car ride, that means we're going for a car ride. He can't do that on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I think he's, I caught him the other day with looking online at buying cars, so I think maybe he thinks he can do that by himself.
Yeah, and if the keys are missing, you might want to check, you know, near the leash. So what's funny in the Dogs of Christmas? How do you make the Dogs of Christmas humorous, Bruce Cameron?
Well, here's this guy. His name is Josh. He lives in the mountains of Colorado in Evergreen. He's never had a dog. He is not doing that well with people either. He's kind of isolated, alone. He's a computer guy. He works all day in front of a screen. And then into his life comes a pregnant dog, and following right on his heel a whole bunch of little puppies. And then he's got to cope with all, you know, understanding everything that puppies do, from, you know, everything they rip up, and he's trying to celebrate Christmas. He puts up a Christmas tree and they think that's there for them. The sheer joy of playing with puppies is funny. It's also funny to watch Josh, the guy, the hero of the Dogs of Christmas, cope with his romantic life, because he's just never had a much of a success there, and the woman from the animal shelter who is sort of helping him step by step in his understanding of dogs.
Carrie.
That woman, yeah, Carrie. She's quite a character, and it's funny to watch Josh as he just gropes through that really awkward thing where you know what you want and you think it's going well, but you can't tell, and you say the wrong thing, and then there's a misunderstanding. It's, God, why is it so hard, you know? I think that's funny, because I think that's funny. That's a funny part of the human condition.
Well, you've obviously never been through that.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how's your daughter today? Tell me about your daughter.
You know, she runs an animal rescue in Denver, Colorado. She rescued my dog, Tucker. Tucker's story influenced the Dogs of Christmas, because Tucker was dropped off at birth in a box at the animal shelter, which is a bad thing, because the animal shelters don't have the resources to raise puppies.
Yep.
And bottle feed them. But my daughter just happened to have a lactating German Shepherd who had weaned her pups just the day before. And she said, well, let's try it, and brought in this box of puppies and said something along the lines of, hey, remember that weekend at the Sigma Chi house? Well, here you go. and the German Shepherd just sort of rolled over with a sigh, and that's how Tucker, my little Tucker, was saved from what would have had to have been a euthanized, brutally short life, because they just didn't have the resources to bottle feed them. That's just the tragedy of this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Worked out great. Uh-huh. And that is that. If the Dogs of Christmas has a very similar storyline in it, so I don't want to give too much away, but it's really kind of based on the life of my dog Tucker.
Okay, Bruce Cameron's the author of the Dogs of Christmas. So, how much is Josh autobiographical?
Well, you know, I lived in Evergreen, Colorado. I have rescued dogs, and I've certainly stumbled through romantic relationships of a time or two, and had bad breakups and all that sort of stuff that has happened to Josh. That part, I'd say, I was able to find some of the heart and pathos from my own existence and stitch it into the Dogs of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So you had to dig a little deep on that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
So would you figure, all right, let me ask you this. So how did Josh figure out how to get through that kind of awkward period that you described there?
You know, I think he does it the way we all do, which is he learns while he's doing it. I don't think that, I don't think anyone would describe Josh as a slick operator or as somebody who, you know, just intuitively does the right thing. I think he pretty much bumbles and stumbles his way through life doing mostly the wrong thing, but he's got an open heart, and that is what saves him from what might be, you know, there's lots of people who don't learn from their mistakes or who insist that they didn't make a mistake. Josh is not like that. He knows he's doing most things wrong. He's just really hoping he can figure out how to do them right. So I think that's a, and I think that's a good way to for us all to be. I think it'd be really nice if we could all sort of adopt the attitude that if we make a mistake, it's not a big deal to admit it and to try to learn from it.
Right. No, it's not the mistake. It's how you react, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Call some of our politicians and tell them that.
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, on your website, you have this unauthorized autobiography of you. And I have to tell you, you have some of the funniest pictures of yourself growing up. And there's got to be a picture here of you in probably about fourth grade. I have the same exact picture of me. God, I mean, it's just scary. It really is. And then there's a picture of you that kind of in your, maybe you're, I don't know, in your early 20s and kind of your mod phase. It's like, what is that you're wearing in front of the fireplace there? What material is that? Seriously.
I think it was carpet.
Yeah, it looks, yeah.
It was like really bad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it looks like one of those things, if you rubbed it, that it could, I don't know, it could change colors or something.
It's like, yeah, that's right.
Like like bad brown corduroy.
That's exactly what it is. It's really bad brown corduroy. I bought that suit at Sears.
Uh-huh.
I think in the automotive department.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And I'm guessing it was one of those $99 ones.
I think it was $99. It came with a reversible vest and two pairs of pants.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. Yeah, my evolution as an author was to mostly be a failure, and then all of a sudden things turned around for me in a big way. But I never stopped writing. All those pictures of me, even as a little kid, I was not trying to be an astronaut or anything else that my friends wanted to be. I just wanted to be a novelist, and it took me my whole life to get here.
Mm-hmm.
But with something like The Dogs of Christmas, my most recent book that we're talking about, it is the it is so much fun to be able to say, well, I want to write an uplifting tale that people can read at Christmas time that might make them happy, given that there's so much stuff in the world to be unhappy about. If you let yourself, why not have a lighthearted, funny tale about puppies at Christmas? I mean, what's wrong with that?
I mean, how many more ISIS books do we need out there for Christmas, right?
Right. I don't need, I mean, sure. I don't begrudge anybody their reading tastes. I'm just here to tell you that sometimes I think, especially if you're going to give somebody a book, why not pick something that leaves them smiling? I mean, it's fun to be able to write about dogs, because dogs are these optimistic creatures. We're always happy. And so, you know, I mean, to be the dog book guy now is not that bad of a thing.
No, it's not. That's better than being the brown corduroy guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Tell me this. What do you think is really the key to being a good writer?
Practice, practice, practice. I mean, I think that so many times I'll be approached by somebody who talks about the book they have in them, and when I tell them, "Well, I wrote 9 books before I sold my 10th one," they get a glassy look in their eye. But for me, I don't know that I was. I was always the good writer in class. I was always the best writer in the creative writing class. That counts for nothing.
Right.
What counts is your hours in. I think that's probably true about any artistic endeavor.
You
make so many mistakes before you are finally on the road to writing a good book.
Kind of the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000-hour rule.
Yeah, it is exactly the 10,000-hour rule.
Huh. All right, what's the one simple rule for dating my teenage daughter that I have to remember with a 15-year-old?
You know, if you pull in my driveway and honk, you better be delivering a package, because sure as heck are not picking anything up.
You mean get out of the car? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, get out of the car, come knock on the door.
Low eye contact.
Show me, sir.
Yeah.
Show me some fear. You may have a shot, but otherwise.
Show me some fear. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate
it. Oh, great talking to you.
Thank you so much. And you have another book coming out, right? Or just came out?
Just came out. It's called thanks for mentioning it. It's called The Midnight Plan of the Repo Man. It's got a dog on the cover, of course. It's got a A lot of humor in that one as well. It's a really funny book, but it's also a mystery thriller, so it's got stuff going for it.
Okay, so I have to wait past Christmas to get you on for that? Is that the deal?
You know, there's no law that says you can't get both.
Oh, all right. Okay, there you go. Because that's a little bit less, I mean, well, it's pretty lighthearted, it sounds like, because you were a repo man at one point.
I was a repo man, yeah, and so this has got a lot of my life experience in there.
Right, probably a valuable experience in writing the dating book, too. Got to be a connection there somewhere.
I think so.
Thanks for your time this morning, Bruce. Good luck.
Yeah, great talking.
Bruce Cameron's the author of his most recent book is The Dogs of Christmas. We'll take a really quick break here before we wrap up. We'll be back right after this.
Capitol Ground.
Let's talk warm and fuzzy.
Capitol Ground.
Let's talk harsh reality. It's cold out there.
Capitol Ground.
You want something warm? If you haven't had Capital Grounds coffee, you gotta treat yourself, you know? The seasons can throw a lot at you. We've got your breakfast and lunch covered at Capital Grounds. When you come to Montpelier to shop, you can get a great breakfast. We have breakfast burritos and sandwiches. Stop by Capital Grounds for some great gift ideas. Everything from t-shirts to travel mugs, ceramic mugs. And if you're a coffee lover, check out CapitalGrounds.com and find out more about our new coffee subscription. What a great gift idea for the coffee lover. My joy is seeing you come into Capital Grounds and supporting all the local businesses in the community. Happy holidays.
Capital Grounds.
Get on down to Capital Grounds.
Capital Grounds.
Downtown Montpelier.
Thinking about doing some projects on your home? A home improvement loan from Granite Hills Credit Union is the answer. It's quick and easy. Borrow up to $10,000 with this personal loan at a great fixed low rate. No appraisal or title search required. Remodel your kitchen, replace your roof, or add a room. You decide. Looking to do a larger project? We have home equity loans with new lower rates or a line of credit that allows the flexibility of check writing. Give us a call. Stop in or visit us at granitehills.org to find out how you can make your remodeling dreams come true.
Granite Hills Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by the NCUA.
Don't forget to go up and see our friend Mike Roussel at the Tailor Shop today in Stowe's Lower Village. He just opened his door, or did open his door about an hour ago. 50 years of experience he brings to each and every job, men's and women's clothing, and great repair work, too. Thanks for joining us. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, AM 550 WDEV, Waterbury, Montpelier News right now.